This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When works of art should be titled A Study in Hiding Wealth, it's just one angle as we follow the massive leak called the Panama Papers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Reporters are still combing through the 11 million documents leaked from a Panama law firm with details of secret financial accounts of politicians, people with ties to politicians, a famous Spanish soccer player, some Bollywood film stars. Associates of Russian President Putin appear to have secret accounts, people close to China's leadership. As we've been reporting today, Britain's prime minister has now changed his story. It turns out he benefited from an offshore account originally set up by his father. And here's another one involving Russian billionaire Dmitry Rybolovlev. He seems to have used a shell company to hide hundreds of millions of dollars worth of art. Marketplace's Jed Kim looked into how that game is played.
Have a whole lot of Picassos and nowhere to put them? You could always store them in one of the world's free ports. They're warehouses that act as holding areas for international goods. And since you're not going through customs, they're tax-free. Diana Warbicki heads the art law practice at Withers Bergman. She says it's hard to know how much art is stored in free ports, but there are clues.
It is becoming more difficult to ensure art at certain free port locations because of the high concentration of art there, that it creates an increased insurance risk.
Some fear free ports could be used to launder money through artwork. But Marianne Manicker, who publishes Art Market Monitor, says the subjective prices for art makes it less of a draw for would-be launderers.
You know, crooks are just people like you and me. They want to be able to get their money as easily as possible.
And in fact, some speculate the reason Rybolovlev may have hidden his art wasn't to hide his wealth from authorities, but from his ex-wife. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Foreign ministers from the G7 countries will meet in Japan starting this weekend. They're expected to talk about forcing countries to share airline passenger data to combat terrorism. There are some sticking points, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The idea is simple. An agreement among the G7 countries, the U.S., Japan, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, and Canada, that they would share airline passenger data, including itineraries and personal information, in an effort to track suspected terrorists. Richard Abalafia is an aviation analyst with the Teal Group.
A suspicious person flies from, say, China to Paris, and the U.S. authorities want information on that.
Simple idea, but hard to put into practice. Hans Weber is president of the aviation consulting firm TechOp International. He says there's disagreement over how much of the itinerary data to share because of European privacy concerns. Weber says the Europeans got more interested in sharing data after the Paris and Brussels attacks, but
they have to yet wait for further attacks and some sense of panic setting in before something meaningful will happen.
Weber doesn't think a final agreement will be reached next week. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And here is a striking number. World trade, international commerce for the whole planet Earth, will grow by just 2.8% this year. This according to a new WTO forecast. That would be year number 5 for below-par growth for world trade, the weakest stretch since the 1980s. Trade never really recovered from the 2008 financial collapse. China's slower growth is part of this, but some experts are talking about the notion of peak trade as globalization enters a mature phase. I was just watching that Ethan Hawke movie about jazz great and jazz mess Chet Baker. The performances are great. Interestingly, the creators chose not to use Baker's original recording, so they redo the songs, with Hawke doing his best to re-sing the vocals. Music in movies and TV can cost a fortune. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports on the money behind the sound.
There's a reason you rarely hear the Beatles on television. Licensing their music costs a fortune. Mad Men reportedly paid $250,000 for the rights to use Tomorrow Never Knows in Season 5. Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. And you can be sure HBO shelled out plenty to open the most recent episode of Vinyl with this. Here comes the sun. But most TV shows and films don't have a Beatles-sized music budget.
With the smaller shows, the budgets are very low for music. It's the last thing that gets paid for.
That's entertainment attorney Ben McLean. He says music rights can cost nothing for a band looking for exposure to $1 million for a classic track that everyone knows. Deals more typically range from $500 to $25,000. But virtually everyone, he says, is a negotiation that depends on a whole range of variables.
Say it's a TV show and it's on CBS at 8 o'clock at night when everybody's watching the highest ratings. That's worth a lot more.
The length of the clip matters. So does whether the song is being played in the background or foreground. And if you hear a character in a show singing all about that bass instead of Meghan Trainor,
they probably saved half because there's two copyrights. There's the song copyright, the words and the music. And then there's the master recording of the song.
Another cost cutter? Say a director wants reggae, but can't afford Bob Marley. She can use a similar sounding track by a lesser known artist. But there's another strategy movies and shows try when they really want a song.
If you don't have a big budget, what do you have? You have art. You have a story. My job is to go and be the ambassador for the story, not the ambassador for the budget.
That's music supervisor Tracy McKnight. She's worked on The Hunger Games, Adventureland, the TV series Outsiders. She describes her job as part art and part commerce, which can mean managing the expectations of producers and directors. Sometimes, she says,
you have to turn around to them and say, okay, that may be unrealistic. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to speed dial Prince to get you a song for $250.
But it doesn't stop her from trying. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
It's raining purple money, I think. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.